Judges chapter 2 in your Bibles. We'll continue tonight looking through this book and how in the world did we get here. And we certainly see as we take an honest look at society, at churches today, we see that there are a lot of obstacles, a lot of problems. And if we understand a little better how we got here, then we can understand a little better how we get out of the mess. And so this section that I'm going to read, I'll read just a few verses to start, is the anger of the Lord. The anger of the Lord. Judges chapter 2, starting with verse 14, begins with that phrase, "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so they could no longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed." The anger of the Lord. Let's pray as we begin. Lord, we do love you and thank you for today, and thank you for these testimonies of folks that we've met and had conversations with yesterday. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to know that we care. We care about their lives, their needs, their families, the problems they're having. And Lord, that we want to be a help. We want them to understand the gospel and be saved. And we want to live their lives in a way that would honor Jesus Christ. Lord, we have to look at our own lives honestly and see where are we individually and where would you have us to be. Help us, Lord, to be willing to move from where we are to where we should be for you. We'll give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Israel in one generation had turned from God to serve idols. One generation. If we go back to chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "And also that generation, also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." They forgot the works of God. History, you know, there's an old saying, those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. And Israel soon, as they came into the land, a land of plenty, a land, as we've said before, that had everything waiting for them. Houses and vineyards and olive yards and fields and figs. Everything was waiting for them. All they had to do was step into the middle and to reap the bounty. But they got more focused on the bounty than on the God of the bounty. And they forgot God and his works. In chapter 2, verse 12, they forsook God. Look what it says. "And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt." Look at verse 13. "And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth." Sometimes we think we can live in kind of a neutral state. Well, I'm not serving God, but I'm not serving the world, and I'm just kind of in this neutral never land. But that's not the case. Because either we will serve God or we will serve the gods of this world. There is no middle ground. Either we're serving God or we're serving the gods of this world. And they forsook God. We see that they followed idols. Look at the end of verse 12. "And followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger." They followed the gods of the land. We look back at this and we just kind of shake our head and say, could they not understand that God brought them into the land? In him bringing them into the land, he was bringing his judgment on these people that had all these heathen gods and practices. That the invasion of the land by Israel, the occupation of the land by Israel, was a judgment on these individual groups. On these groups that worship these idols. But we see again in one generation that the children of Israel forgot the God that brought them out of the land of Egypt. That they they forsook God, and then they followed these idols and the idol worshipers. And look at verse 14. And they forfeited God's assistance. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers. We see first in this part that we begin, God's anger is exhibited in verses 14 and 15. God's anger with Israel is exhibited. The first thing we see is the heathen spoiled them. Now the word, we use that a little different today. We talk about a little child that's spoiled, or maybe a teenager that's spoiled, or even, I'm afraid, an adult that is spoiled. Meaning that they have little temper tantrums, they have to have their way. It's Burger King, it has to be my way right away, or I'm going to get on the floor and I'm going to kick my heels and scream and holler. Spoiled. But it's a different context here. Many of you have heard the phrase, the spoils of war. And here it talks about when they spoiled, the heathen spoiled Israel, it means that they invaded and took every good thing that they had. In those days when the armies would overcome another army, they would take all the armor from that army. They would take any horses and animals that were valuable. If there was a city or a town, they would go into that town and they would take slaves from that town and they would take anything of value from that town. They spoiled them. Think of this, a generation ago, God had led Israel into the land. God had spoiled the heathen, if you will, and given the spoils to Israel. And now, just a generation away, Israel turns away from God, and God says, okay, I'm going to allow the heathen to have their way with you. The heathen spoiled them. We see as well that God sold them into the hands of their enemies. In the middle of verse 14. That they became tributaries. They weren't necessarily slaves in the technical sense where they were bound in chains. But the enemies, and we see this over and over in the book of Judges, the enemies had control over them. They could not plow and reap their fields and have a profit from that because the enemy would come and take it away. They would take away the profit from their vineyards and olive yards and fig trees. They had their way with them. They were slaves. God weakened them. Look at verse 15. And whatsoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them. In the end of verse 14. So they could no longer stand before their enemies. Again, they were used to their enemies running from them. They were used to, like, the Battle of Jericho, the Battle of the Kings, as they began that campaign across central Israel and then the campaign to the north and the south. The enemy literally fled from them. But now they fled from the enemy. And God distressed them. Look at the end of verse 15. And the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. So the heathen spoiled them, God sold them, weakened them, and distressed them. Now understand, God was not doing this because he hated them. God was not doing this that he might wreak some vengeance upon them. God was doing that they might return unto him, that they might see the futility of their own actions. Often, I pray for some individuals, and I pray and I say, God, bring them to the end of themselves. Bring them to the place where they understand. God, bring whatever's necessary into their lives, that they might see the futility of their actions, that they might see that what they do and their actions, that they're displeasing to you, and that they need to come to themselves, even as the prodigal did there in the pig pen eating husks. That was God's goal, that they would come to themselves. So we see God's anger is exhibited in verses 14 and 15. And then we see God's anger is quenched in verses 16, 17, and 18. God's anger is quenched. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them, and turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Nevertheless, I like that word. Nevertheless, Israel came into the land. God used them to conquer the land. And then they allowed the land to conquer them. They yielded to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They allowed the influence of the heathen to influence in one generation to where they had turned from serving God to idolatry. And God brought judgment on them. Notice the phrase, therefore, it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. It's an interesting phrase, it repented the Lord. We often think of repent. Repentance, a theological definition, is a change of heart, mind, and will with regard to sin, self, and God. Now, God doesn't repent like that. But repentance means a change in the way of thinking toward something. God is omniscient. God knows tomorrow as clearly as today and yesterday. And so God planned on repenting. As Israel responded, as Israel pleaded with them, as Israel came and said, Lord, we're being oppressed, and then God said, when that happens, I will repent. I will turn in the way I'm dealing with the nation of Israel. They repented because their conditions changed their mind. God knew how they would respond to oppression. God planned to change how he dealt with them because of their response. God raised up leadership. Verse 16 and 18 tells us about the judges. And the rest of the book, of course, deals one after another with biographical accounts of the judges. But God raised up judges, some military leaders, some civil leaders, some leaders that, like Samson, we look and we say, how in the world could an individual like that lead a nation? Sometimes we look at our nation, we say, how in the world can an individual like that lead our nation? We look at the states. I'm an American. I have to vote in November. I think I'm going to write in Donald Duck. No, I'm not going to do that. But you know, someone has said, God gives us the leadership we deserve. As a nation. Now understand that in Israel, in the midst of all this, there were godly people that were serving God who had not turned towards idolatry. But the godly suffered the same consequence with the ungodly who had turned to idolatry. God was with the judge. He directed, empowered them. God used the judge to deliver them. Israel followed the judge during his life. We see the judge comes to power either through a military leadership like Gideon or through a series of things like Samson or maybe like Deborah and Barak again through a military engagement. And God uses that judge to lead Israel sometimes for a few short years, sometimes for a generation. But then we see that things change again. phrase I read, it's not original with me. The people wasted their suffering. The people wasted their suffering. They did not learn the lessons God wanted them to learn and profit from his chastising. The people wasted their suffering. They did not learn the lessons that God wanted them to learn and profit from his chastising. We look at the nation of Israel and we shake our heads and say, How could you go through these things that we see here in the book of Judges, one after another, and waste your suffering? Sometimes a stubborn-willed child will waste their suffering. Sometimes a child that has a stubborn will, that they'll do something, and you can discipline them, and they get all done with their wailing and gnashing of teeth and hollering, and 30 minutes later they're doing the same thing. They wasted their suffering. They did not learn from their chastisement that their behavior was unacceptable and that bad behavior brought consequences. But often whole societies are like that. They get the place where society as a whole is suffering because of their sin. And God chastises them. And in the midst of God's chastisement, we see that there is a return. But they waste their suffering in that another generation comes and they go right back to the same thing. But what about us as individuals, as adults? You say, oh, we're not like that little child. Well, I'm afraid we are sometimes. We do something we know is wrong. We choose to do it. You know the old phrase, falling into sin? Nobody ever fell into sin. Sin's always a choice. And there are consequences for that, and we suffer consequences, and we beg God's forgiveness, and God forgives, and God restores, and then we go out and do the same thing again. And again, there are consequences, and the next time maybe a little worse than the first consequences, and again, there are consequences, and again, just like the cycle we see in Israel. You know, maybe we should pray when we ask for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession, of course, means to agree with God. It just doesn't mean to say, God, I'm sorry. It means to say, God, what I did was sin. It was wrong. It's what you sent your son to the cross. Then maybe we should pray, Lord, help me not to waste my suffering. There have been consequences for my sin. I haven't enjoyed them. Lord, help me not to waste my suffering. Help me to see as I approach circumstances again that would lead me down that same path, to realize that there are consequences. It displeases you. It hurts my testimony. It hurts others. Help me not to waste my suffering from the event before. Help me to make the right choice in this time that I might serve you. The people wasted their suffering. I don't have time to finish this message tonight. But we see in Israel a cycle. Disobedience, discipline, despair, and deliverance. I don't know how many times we see in Judges that cycle. Israel disobeys. God disciplines them. They reach the point of despair where they call upon God again and God delivers them. And then in a few years or a generation, they're back to disobedience again. You know, we don't want that to be the case in our lives, in our church. We want to serve God. We want to learn from our suffering personally. Say, God, teach me. Help me to respond properly to the consequences of my behavior. Help me to love you and serve you. Help me to be a blessing to others. The anger of the Lord. If God is a God of love, then God as well is a God of anger. Because if I love someone, I'm angry at what hurts that individual. God loves us. And he loves us so much that he's angry at what hurts us. And that's sin. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to look at our lives honestly and see where we stand as individuals. And Lord, help us to learn. Help us to confess, yes, but help us to learn from the consequences of our sin, from your love and your deliverance. When we determine with your help that that will not happen again in our lives. Lord, that you might be pleased, we might have the testimony that would honor and glorify you. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for what you accomplished now. In Jesus' name, amen.